everyone, welcome to Smart Boss Social Minds podcast. It is Tuesday, the 7th of April. This is episode 15, Money Mindset, Body Balance, Gender Equality and Resilience in Entrepreneurs with coach Lizzie Vince. So this is going to be an amazing episode. You're going to learn a lot from Lizzie and yeah, I hope you guys enjoy the content. Hey everyone, we have a wonderful guest today, the lovely Lizzie Vince, who is a female money mindset and social media coach. And she also founded a networking group called YFE Unite. She helps clients much more so they earn more and work less. Now, Lizzie, that sounds very appealing to nearly everybody, I'm sure. So could you tell us a little bit more, kind of in your own words, about what you do and kind of what motivated you to get started, and a little bit about your backstory of kind of, you know, what you studied and kind of what brought you onto the journey that you're on now?
Yeah, sure. So as Alicia said, I'm a money mindset coach for female entrepreneurs. But if then do you come to me with any kind of struggle challenges that I can help with, I wouldn't say no to that either. And I became a money mindset coach because I was freelancing previously as a social media manager. And I found that a lot of the female entrepreneurs that I was meeting were massively undercharging. And because I've kind of got a bit of a money story myself, which I won't go into too much detail and bore you about, but my parents won't mind me saying this, but they basically ran up a lot of credit card debt, and we ended up having to downsize when I was 16. So we had to move house, and it was really stressful time. I was doing my GCSEs, and it really forced me to work on my money mindset, because I was just like, I don't want what happened to my parents to happen to me. So when I started freelancing, I just charged kind of a reasonable amount, because that's kind of what I'd conditioned myself to do. So when I came across these women who were undercharging, I thought that it was really strange. I remember being like, but why? Like, why are you undercharging? And at first I just didn't understand it, because I'd already worked on my money mindset. But then I was like, oh, right, I see now. There's a lot of people that actually haven't, and they're not even aware of the money blocks that they're having. And it really opened my eyes, and I'm a really caring, helpful person. So I just wanted to help people, and I found out about coaching and niched into money mindset coaching because I can use the tools that I've used on myself on my clients, and it's worked so far. So I think it was a good decision.
Oh, that's amazing. I never knew that about your story about, you know, when you were 16 years old and your parents. I think that's a very inspiring story to kind of, you know, gives you that foundation of why you do what you do and why you're so motivated to help other individuals as well. So, I mean, when you meet these female entrepreneurs who seem to have these mental blocks when it comes to money, I mean, what are some of the reasons they have this block? I mean, why do they feel like they don't deserve to charge what they're worth? Why do you think that is?
Very good question. Many reasons. A lot of it, which I kind of touched upon earlier, is due to conditioning. So we are conditioned and programmed kind of from the age of about 7, I think from 0 to 7, we're taking it all in, and we believe anything, and we don't really have fear, and we think that anything is possible. Then from the age of 7, you start to develop kind of logic, and you hear the word no and rejection, and you start to develop sort of certain conditioning. So a lot of people have certain money stories. So I've had clients whose money stories are that you have to work hard to earn money. And I had that story actually, because my dad and my stepdad, who are the two key male figures in my life, have always been self-employed. And I saw my dad having to work literally all the hours under the sun, weekends, everything. I mean, he's been able to retire at 55, so it was worth it, but it was hard work. So from that, of course, I was going to develop the money story that you have to work hard to earn money. And I took that into my adult life, and I worked in fashion before I freelanced, and I always worked really hard. And my boyfriend was like, "You don't need to work so hard all the time." And I was just like, "But I do, because, you know, that's what I think." That I was literally saying before we went on air that Alicia was saying, you know, I'm really motivated and I go, go, go. And I'm like, that is just me. And it's a blessing and a curse, because sometimes I can get burnt out. But anyway, I digress from your question. So definitely conditioning and money stories. Also, a lot of it is fear. A lot of people are kind of scared to have money. So in addition to people not being able to save money, there are people that struggle to spend money. There are people that spend all of their money because they have this fear that if you have lots of money, something bad is going to happen to you. So they end up spending everything that they have, and they don't have any savings, and maybe they get into some financial trouble. And what's kind of most concerning, and equally it's kind of where I come in, is that people aren't even aware of these money blocks. You know, they just think, "Oh, I'm just bad at saving," or "I just love to spend." And like my mom, my sister, the biggest spenders I know. And like, when I've told them kind of about what their money mindset could be and why this is happening and the blocks they might have, it's kind of like, you know, having an epiphany. They're like, "Oh, wow, I never realized that," because I guess you don't question your nature or your actions. You're just kind of like, this is me. But who you are it's programmed from years of conditioning. So I definitely, yeah, become aware of your money blocks. That's the first step. So yeah, conditioning and money stories, money blocks around fear. And with women as well, I think it's a lot of it is imposter syndrome. So, you know, typically women have been, the men have been the breadwinners and the women have been the carers. And that's kind of primitive behavior, I guess. That's always been the case. And it kind of frustrates me that, you know, there are more male CEOs called John than there are female CEOs. And that's for a reason. That's because women don't think that they're worthy to get to that position. And they don't think that they're worthy to earn that sort of money. And I also help my clients with sales, because that is something that a lot of women can struggle with, because they don't want to charge for what they're good at. Whereas men stereotypically will be more than happy to ask for, you know, ask very directly for money and won't bat an eyelid. But I've spoken on another podcast recently and said that the business industry as a whole, I guess, is, and sales is moving in the direction of the preference of the female approach, which is the more caring approach, the longer, kind of more emotional, established relationships. So yeah, I think it's going in the right direction for women. Nobody likes to be directly sold to anymore. So yeah, that's a very long answer, but that's kind of it. I could say a lot more.
Oh no, that's fantastic. I was actually going to ask you about the whole correlation between male and female money mindset, but you answered that completely. So thank you for that.
No worries.
You did mention that over time, you know, women have become kind of more dominant in the market. There are now more female CEOs more than ever. And, you know, that's just a fantastic transition for business and for women in general. And hopefully we can get to some kind of element of balance, which we're kind of nearing. So yeah, that's amazing. So recently you set up a networking group because you love to help females and males as well. And it's called Wifey Unite. Could you tell us a little bit more about that as well?
Yeah, sure. So the inspiration behind that is that I was going to a lot of networking events when I started out. Anything I do, as Alicia kind of well knows, I put my heart and soul into it and I go kind of full steam ahead. So I was networking like a crazy person. And I just found that I wasn't coming across many kind of creative younger people. And, you know, this is by no means, you know, I loved meeting older people because I could really learn from their experience. But I do think it's important to also socialize with people of a similar age. And, you know, us young entrepreneurs, we've just kind of got a different mindset because we haven't been working for kind of 20, 30 years and we've now become an entrepreneur. We've kind of gone kind of maybe working for 5 years and we've become an entrepreneur. So it's kind of a different approach and mindset. So yeah, I set up Young Female Entrepreneurs Unite because I wanted a space for kind of young female entrepreneurs. And as I said, men are welcome too. And older women are welcome too, by the way. That is like, I'm not ageist at all. Like I love hanging out with older people. I always have done. And yeah, like there's women of all different ages, which I really like. Different kind of, some people are creative. Most people are creative, actually. I think they're just the sort of people that I attract. So yeah, it's just really nice. And I started it in November. Obviously had to cancel the last one at the end of March, which was a shame. Been thinking of doing virtual networking events, but I haven't yet got around to it because I've been too busy focusing on my coaching client. But yeah, if anyone would be interested in virtual networking events, then feel free to kind of DM me on Instagram or Facebook, whatever, and let me know. And I can try and figure something out. But yeah, really, it's such a shame this has happened for many reasons. But yeah, in terms of the networking, I was really enjoying it and kind of getting into the groove. And each month I would have a different guest speaker and a different topic. I had an imposter syndrome speaker. I had a kind of well-being speaker. I had a vision board workshop. So yeah, it was really, really good. And it will definitely continue after this. So it's just being put on hold for now.
Well, I look at it this way. I mean, it kind of pushes us to innovate. So even though you can't physically network, you're going to learn the kind of online element of it. So I guess there's always a silver lining in every cloud, right? Oh, that sounds amazing.
Definitely.
I recently joined your group and I can't wait to kind of, you know, get stuck in and attend, you know, either online or physical groups as well. So well done for that, Lizzie. So can I
thank you, that'd be amazing.
About your biggest struggle that maybe you're currently facing or that you have faced when building your business or kind of on your journey to where you are now and kind of what you learned from that and how you can express that to kind of help other people if they're kind of going through the same thing as well.
Oh God, how do I pick one? Maybe I pick something that I'm still working on, which I touched upon earlier, which is, you know, it is my conditioning and my programming and my money block that you have to work hard to earn money. And it's something that I've tried to kind of get rid of for ages. And it is difficult to kind of reprogram your mind after, as I said, years and years of conditioning from childhood. So it is going to take time. But what I would say is that, you know, you can't pour from an empty cup. You have to fill your own cup first. I always talk about the oxygen mask analogy, you know. You have to put on your somebody else's. And, yeah, I think that it's so easy when you're starting out in business to think that you need or even want to work all the hours, and you know, that is, in a way, is great because that shows that you're passionate and you love what you do. But you know, none of us are superwomen or supermen, and we all do need an element of balance, whatever that looks like for you. So I would just say, and especially women, kind of the guru is talking about, and we spoke about this on our live, the guru is talking about team no sleep and you only need 5 to 6 hours in the 5 a.m. club, you know. Nothing is prescriptive in life. You have to interpret things and try them out for yourself. And if it doesn't work for you, don't force it. You know? I tried the 5 a.m. club and it was awful. I hated it. I was so tired all the time. I felt sick. I was like, this is not for me. And frankly, the people that are saying team no sleep, you only need 5 or 6 hours, are men. And if you look at scientific studies, we need more sleep than men. Like, we actually do. Like, that's just science. So I would say, don't push yourself too hard, because you will face burnout and overwhelm and stress. Like, you can't get through it without happening. It's just inevitable. And yeah, make sure you get enough sleep. Make sure to establish some kind of balance, which is really important right now. So meditation, yoga, exercise, like we spoke about on my podcast, diet is really important. Just kind of living this holistic lifestyle that's healthy and that benefits you, because otherwise your business ends up running you instead of you running your business. And I think that's what happened to me. And the other thing is, sometimes you can get really caught up working in your business, which is great. You know, you want to serve your clients, you want to do your best job, but you can't forget about the bigger picture. You can't forget about your goals, the reason why you started, because otherwise you'll just be chugging away and you won't really be getting anywhere. You'll just be taking each day as it comes. And I know balancing the in and on your business is easier said than done. It's something that I'm working on. Like, nobody's perfect. Don't think that anyone you see on social media that seems to have their stuff together actually does, because they definitely don't. That's another thing. Don't compare yourself to others, or try not to. Try to be inspired, instead of kind of copying them or maybe them getting you down, because you know, everyone has their struggles. I was watching an Instagram live with Susie Walker, who's the editor-in-chief of Psychology's magazine, and she was saying that, you know, she woke up this morning and she just burst into tears. And you think, like, editor-in-chief of Psychology's magazine, like, she's like amazing, like, she's got her life together, you know. She's been so successful. She works for an incredible magazine, a magazine that's all about kind of balance and mental health, and she's struggling. And that really inspired me. And I was like, right, okay, I'm not the only one. Even the editor-in-chief of Psychology's magazine wakes up crying sometimes. It does happen. So yeah, just kind of take it easy when you need to. Don't be so hard on yourself. And yeah, remember kind of the final outcome instead of getting caught up in the day-to-day. I hope that's answered it. Sorry, rambled on again.
More than I have so much to say about everything you said there. First of all, I love how you're so analytical about everything and that you tried to do the 5 a.m. club, which I also tried as well, and I hated it. But I love how you took it one step further and found out the scientific research that women need more sleep than men. I think that's brilliant. Yeah. And that's what I love. Very analytical. And also about, you were talking about balance and how that relates to your business. And we were actually saying on our live as well that if something is out of balance, it's usually when you don't feel right, whether that's your health, your mindset, meditation, whether you slept right or whatever, or you're doing the right things. So having that balance is really important as a business owner as well. And also, you mentioned, excuse me, about, you know, the 5 a.m. club, and it's about, like, do you agree that it's about picking out what works for you? Because, you know, strategies that are set up and, you know, and it looks as though they're for everybody, they might not be for everybody. And it's about kind of tasting different things and seeing what works for you, especially as a business owner as well. Do you agree with that?
Yes, definitely. I think, you know, I always say this, but nothing in life is prescriptive. You have to, like you just said, take out what works for you and kind of, yeah, adapt it, try out different things. I'm such an experimenter in every area of my life. Like, I just love, I love trying new things. And if something's not working for you, don't force it, you know. There's a difference between, I don't know, there's like a fine line between going with something because you want to get better at it, as opposed to going with something if it's not right for you. Like meditation, some people would try it once and be like, no, I don't like it. And meditation is the kind of thing that is going to take time. You know, if you're not used to it, your brain is going to be going, like, setting off fireworks, because it's not going to know what the hell is going on. Like, why are you telling me to be quiet? So yeah, I definitely think try out different things, and if it doesn't work for you, don't let it get you down.
Absolutely. So obviously we've talked about, you know, things that you life is faced with some kind of obstacle, but then we do it and we push ourselves and we kind of get over these obstacles because we like to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And there's so many advantages of being an entrepreneur and being in charge of your own destiny and your own future. So for you, what are the highlights of what you do and kind of you know, the industry that you're in, and also, yeah, being an entrepreneur, I mean, what is the, what are the advantages that you feel are, you know, benefit you as having control of your destiny?
Yeah, I mean, what I love about what I do is being able to help people and getting paid to do that. And when you kind of have the confidence that you know you're good at what you do, then you can charge kind of whatever you want. And that's what I teach my clients about. You know, when people are undercharging, it's typically because they're not confident in their own abilities. So you kind of have to go like 10 steps back. That's what I do with my clients anyway, and find out where that fear is coming from, because fear doesn't, you know, there's no smoke without fire. It doesn't come from nowhere. It comes from some kind of limiting belief that, like, maybe you got told as a child that you're not good enough, or you're not smart enough, or you never get anywhere in life. Or not, sometimes it's even as extreme or obvious as that. It could be a small thing, like your parents always said no, or I don't know. There could be many different examples. But I love, you know, as you said, I'm analytical. So I love digging deep with my clients, and the look on their face when, the kind of like empowered look on their face when we uncover where their money blocks are coming from and their limiting beliefs. And I tell them that, you know, you can change that and we're going to change that together. And they just get so excited, and like, it is genuinely life-changing and transformational coaching. It's honestly the best, for me, it's like the best thing that I've ever done, because being able to use my personal experience to help others and like getting paid for that is just, yeah, kind of the dream job. So I love that I get to do that. I love, the part I love about being entrepreneurial is the community. So like being in the Facebook groups, networking. When I went to, what was it? Like a women in business networking event in, oh gosh, where was it now? Farnborough, very random place. And it was a huge event. It was free. And Susie from Psychologies magazine was there, like Estelle Kieber, the founder of Mums in Business Association. Karen Brady was there, Michelle Moan. And like, I met all of those women, and that's just incredible. Like, when do you get the chance to do that in life if you work a 9-to-5? So yeah, I guess on top of that, the freedom that it gives you, and the freedom can be challenging. And I think a lot of people right now have realized that freedom is a blessing and a curse, because with freedom, you have to establish some sort of routine. You have to keep motivated. And it seems like glorious and sunshine and rainbows, but then when you actually get to it, you're like, this is terrifying, because you're in control of your day. Nobody's telling you what to do. So yeah, I definitely just wanted to be honest about that, because I don't feel like enough people are honest about entrepreneurship. A lot of people talk about the good stuff, which there is a lot of good stuff, and the good stuff outweighs the bad. Don't get me wrong. Anytime I have low moments, like yesterday morning, I have to remind myself, you know, you are a lot happier than when you were in a 9-to-5. So I think, yeah, those reminders definitely help. But yeah, it isn't easy keeping yourself motivated. And that's why, like I said earlier, the balance and the checking in on yourself is so important. And being an entrepreneur, lastly, is the greatest, single most self-development journey of discovery anyone will ever go on. Like, I feel like I know more about myself than my grandparents know about themselves, because I forced myself to go on this journey, and it's been incredible. Like, you will learn more about yourself as an entrepreneur than you will in 9-to-5, hands down. Like, you will learn more as an entrepreneur in a few years than you'd learn in your whole life working in 9-to-5, because there are so many ups and downs. Like, it's no straight and narrow. It's like jagged loop de loop. You go back, you go forward, you go back 10 steps, you go forward 20, then you go back. And you will have days where you want to give up, and you think, it happens to me all the time. And you think, oh, it would just be so much easier to just go back to a 9-to-5. But then you think about it and you're like, actually, no, it wouldn't. But the only reason why we think that is because it's safe, I guess, in the 9-to-5, and we are conditioned to be, you know, our ego is there to keep us safe and stable and secure. So anytime you push yourself out of your comfort zone, you get that anxious feeling. That's your ego telling you not to do it. But instead of listening to your ego, I always say, listen to your intuition, because your intuition is like your future self. It's like your guiding light, and it knows what's ahead of you, and it knows what path you could take. So it will direct you down the right path. And if you don't listen to it, then something will go wrong, because you're going against your intuition. Anyway, I massively digress again. But yeah, I just wanted to say that, and this is something actually that Ryan Pinnick talks about, who is the founder of Super Genius, which is a company that helps people to like tap into their super conscious mind. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, look it up, because it's amazing. And he says, you do, so hopefully your listeners do as well. He says your ability to handle tension determines everything in your life. And it can take a while to get your head around that, but he basically means, like, when it comes to love, relationships, business, anything, your ability to handle the tension that comes with that will determine kind of how successful you are in that area of your life. Because if you can't handle tension in your relationship, then you might just give it all up and, you know, end up single. Maybe that's what you want, but maybe it isn't. You've just given it up because you can't handle the tension. And it's the same with business. I'm sure there are so many things that could have been invented, but people gave up just before they got to the final stage. And there's so many wasted business ideas out there because people give up. And it does seem a lot easier to give up. But what I would say is never give up. And if resilience is something you struggle with, which it is for me, then it's something you can work on. Anything, you can work on anything. And I find kind of meditation for resilience really helps. And anytime, I'm very spiritual, I don't know if your listeners are, but anytime something happens to me, something bad happens to me, I always tell myself, the universe only gives you what you can handle. And this is just a test of your character. And you can't choose what happens to you, but you can choose how you respond. And I think that's, I read that the other day in response in regards to coronavirus. And I think that's a really important thing to consider, that things that you can't change, there's no point in trying to change them, but you can change your response to that thing. And yeah, I just find that really empowering to think in that way, which again, is easier said than done, but you have to practice these things every day.
Absolutely. Wow. That was so inspiring, that answer. There's so much.
My God, I went on.
It's absolutely amazing. And I love that you touched on resilience, because as I work with business owners, as you do as well, resilience is a common theme, because, you know, with businesses that are B2B and we're helping business owners, we kind of have to coach people. And resilience is like the number one thing that, you know, is present in every entrepreneur. And it's almost like a muscle. I look at it like a muscle, and resilience is something that can be worked on. So that's amazing, Lizzie. Thank you so much for sharing that. Now, very lastly, three tips to improve your money mindset and your income as just, you know, any average person or a business owner. What kind of things would you say would be the three main things that they could, you know, start with today to kind of help their mindset and improve their income?
Yeah. One of the things that I help my clients with before we even start working together on our discovery calls, and this happens every time, by the way, I get them to increase their prices, because most clients that come to me, or not before they're even clients, most women, female entrepreneurs that come to me, they are, as I said, they're massively undercharging. And so that's what I would say. And if there are certain emotions coming up, that's okay. You have to lean into those emotions, not sit in them, but lean into them. And journal, think about why they're coming up. Think about, if you can, if it's not too kind of difficult for you, go back to your childhood and think about your parents, think about your grandparents, think about your great grandparents, think about other family members, think about what they do in their life and their careers and what their money stories are, and see if there's any similarity there. And definitely, it's so cheesy, but awareness is the first step. Once you become aware of your money blocks and your money conditioning and your limiting beliefs around money and around your confidence and your abilities, that's kind of, you're halfway there. That's half the job done. So yeah, increase your prices. If you're struggling to do that, work through the emotions that are coming up. I guess what else I'd say is that I personally love doing like money meditation and money affirmations. And you'll see a lot of money affirmations are like, money is flowing to me right now. And what I say to my clients, if they've tried that before working with me and they're like, affirmations aren't working, I always say to them, they are working, because you're manifesting something, you're just not manifesting what you want. And what I prefer to do, which is something that I've done for myself, is using kind of progressive language, like, I am working on my money mindset and like abundance is in my future, because your subconscious mind can't argue with that. It can't think like, that's not true, because it hasn't happened yet. Whereas if you say money is flowing to me right now, frequently and consistently, then your subconscious mind is so smart and it's always there and it's the almighty powerful being. And it will just say, no, it's not. What are you talking about? You're talking a load of rubbish. So if affirmations don't work for you, definitely recommend using kind of future tense language. I'd say meditation in general, meditation for confidence. A lot of money mindset and kind of increasing your income is around confidence and imposter syndrome. It's something that I can literally help people work on in like half an hour of a discovery call. A lot of my clients get a lot out of that even before we start working together. So if any of your listeners are interested, then I'm actually offering a free hour of coaching at the moment, just because of the current climate. I just really want to help people more.
Wow, that is a fantastic incentive for anyone. So anyone listening, if you heard that, Lizzie is offering free one-on-one coaching, and that is fantastic. You know, and I would completely recommend Lizzie for anything. She's super knowledgeable, super motivated, and totally inspired to helping people. Now, Lizzie, I love the way you talked about, you know, getting back to you being very analytical as well. you know, if you want to kind of think about your own money mindset, then to kind of look around at the people that are around you and how money has been working for them and their mindset around money. I have never ever thought about it like that. Obviously, as you know, people, we want to model people's behavior in a good way. So we look to maybe people that we admire and we try to model their behavior. We look to financially successful people and we think, okay, they invest, they save, they do this, you know. But I never ever thought about maybe thinking about the blocks that I have by looking, you know, around me. So that was really, really helpful. So thank you so much for sharing that tip. Yeah, so thank you so much, Lizzie. You have shared a wealth of knowledge and information. And I would encourage anyone to go to your pages. You're easily found on Instagram. I will link all of your social media with a description of this podcast and this post. And I would encourage all listeners to kind of check out what you're doing. I'm always following Lizzie. She's highly motivated, super inspired, and yeah, just really genuinely wants to help people. So Lizzie, again, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge here on Social Minds Podcast. And I wish you an amazing day.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You made me want to cry. This has been incredible. Loved it. Thank you for inviting me on.
Yeah, no worries. Speak to you soon.
Speak to you soon.